Unveiled with Neva Nessa, a Go Loud original podcast.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Unveiled. Unveiled, of course, is a Go Loud original podcast, and you can get it wherever you get your podcast every Monday. Hello, Neve, how are you?
Hello, my love. I'm good, although I'm a bit devo. I don't think I'm going to be able to do the half marathon with my ankle.
Neve, I had it on my list of things I was going to potentially broach with you today.
Yeah, well, here it is. I just went on a little run. And
were you supposed to do that?
Well, like, I was meant to, like, walk, jog for a minute, walk, jog. And even with that, in around the bone is just a little bit sore. And this Wicklow half marathon that I'm meant to be doing on the 24th of March, and if anyone is doing it, best of luck, girls, you will smash it. But it's actually meant to be one of the more harder half marathons because a lot of it is, like, uphill.
Like the terrain and stuff.
Yeah, so just the way my ankle is, like the pressure, I'd be sending myself into a bit of a more.
You're doing yourself any favours.
Yeah, I just would be sending myself more injured. But what I am going to do, I don't know if I told you, is I signed up with a little running coach.
Oh, yeah.
And I was literally just getting going, did my fastest 10K. It's so much better. And I'd really recommend, her name is, I pay for her. This is not a spawn or whatever, a gifted experience with her or anything. Her name is The Running Coach. Her name is Rachel Conway. She's amazing. And she basically just sets out workouts for you, but like it's like running. And it's actually really good because it keeps you really accountable. Because I was just going out running, I think I told you, where this is like it's split up into like different types of runs, fast runs, splits, yeah. Sprints. Some things are uphill. So I was just getting going on that. And then I fell over on my ankle. You know, it was so funny. Jamie rang me the other day and he was like, oh, Niv, I saw where you fell. I'm going to have to bring you down. Because I obviously fell in the dark.
Yeah.
It honestly was going back to the scene of the crime. Yeah. And it was outside just close. It was on Phillipsburg Avenue. So any Northsiders that would maybe run up Phillipsburg Avenue, it was where a tree was. Oh, and the tree was like taken out. So there was like a little dip in the path. Oh. Like it was like a full dip. Because I was wondering how I just fell over on my ankle. Like I was actually real confused by it.
Yeah.
So I went back to the scene of the crime and I was like, Dublin City Council, you may sort that now. Prevent any other runners.
It reminds me of this tweet I saw before and somebody's like, here, what's the story of running? Do you just open your door and run out the gaff or what? how does it start? And it's so true. You're just like, do I do it now?
Yeah.
They're going for it. Yeah.
It's so true. Even like when you're kind of like, I wouldn't be an experienced runner, but I'd be like running regularly. It is so funny when you don't have structure. Like,
I'm off now.
But yeah, how are you doing?
My week, I feel I'm more surviving than thriving this week.
Okay.
And I feel that's what I get for being a sleep swat on the last podcast because now I can't sleep.
Oh no.
I'm like awake. I'm reading a book. I'm going to bed.
Are you reading a book?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What book are you reading?
Maeve Binchy. Lol. From the archives.
Wow.
My mom gave me it, but it's really good.
Is it?
I wasn't ready to disclose that and it just came out. I would have thought of like a more like cool book.
No, that's fine.
It's a bit nana, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I mean, my mom did give it to me, God love. Yeah, but I just like can't, you know, when you just can't come down or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I have a fucking parasite, I'm going to go nuts. So I went straight in and got some Prove again.
Did you?
Yeah.
Broke the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smashed it all. I'm not getting married anymore. I can't afford it.
Spend all my money on some Prove to prevent parasites.
It is.
It is such an interesting thing because after we posted that video, we actually had a couple of people messaging us. And one person had messaged us saying that they weren't sleeping for like months on end. And then they randomly started like getting, you know, vomiting bugs. And it just like wasn't making sense. Like they were checking their food. Like they were. It wasn't a bug that they were picking up or whatever, but they figured out that it wasn't. And then they went to Vincent's and found that they had a bug in their stomach and said that it had been there for years.
I have like the uncurable heebie-jeebies since Anne-Marie told us that. I didn't know I was in the video clip of that. My whole body did a roll.
Your reactions on the videos.
I need to try and work on that.
No, they're very funny. But yeah, no, it was such an interesting topic. I feel like sleep can be so boring, but like actually so interesting, you know, because everyone either struggles with sleep at one point in their life and they want to try figure out why.
Yeah, like it's, I don't know how people function. People don't function if they don't have it. But if you haven't listened to the sleep episode, it's really informative. I've got like a lot of good feedback being like, oh my God, we actually got so much out of that. So even I did, well, I was nailing sleep. I'm not now this week, but whatever. Can't be perfect always.
Come here, have you heard recently about the new air taxis?
Niamh, yes.
The taxi drones that are going to be probably in Ireland by 2027.
I have so many questions about this. You wouldn't be hailing one anyway, wouldn't you not?
Well, I feel like they'd be... you know, I don't know how it would work.
Down here.
But I feel like they'd probably have... They'd surely be safer than a car.
They're helicopters though, aren't they?
Yeah, but I just feel like there'd be no traffic. Like, Dublin is so busy. It's like congested with cyclists, tuk-tuks.
I haven't seen a tuk-tuk in years. Oh, you're right. A rickshaw.
A rickshaw.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
It says a tuk-tuk as well. Yeah,
well, rickshaw, tuk-tuk.
Sorry. I generally get them abroad, not in Dublin. But yeah.
No, I don't agree. Well, like, whatever. I can't crystal ball it. But my golden rule in life is too many rich people have died in helicopter crashes.
That's so true.
I'm sure shit not getting on one.
This is an electric helicopter.
That's even worse. I don't even know how that would work.
Well, but I don't know. So basically tests are being carried out at the moment in the Future Mobility Campus in Clare.
Yeah.
So I'd love to go down and see how it's looking. Have you seen images of them? They look like toy helicopters. Like they're calling it like a drone is being used within the word.
This
like air
taxi.
This is where
I'm confused because a drone is tiny. So yes, it's the drone direction. I don't know.
But I just wanted to know your thoughts on it because it's been all over my feed. Yeah. Like houses, when I'm looking up houses, my whole exploring algorithm is houses, even though it's terrible
Would
out there.
Would you ever do a hot air balloon?
So I did one. Oh no, I did one before, but it was like strapped to the ground still. That's not one, no. I don't know whether I would, no.
Oh yeah, no.
Would you? I did do a helicopter along the Grand Canyon. I was with Louise Cooney and it was the most hungover we've ever been in our whole entire lives. It was after a 24-hour shift in Vegas.
Jesus Christ.
And we landed in the Grand Canyon. And as we were landing in the Grand Canyon, your man was talking on the, like obviously talking to someone that was
your
going
man,
by.
The pipes.
And like a couple had just, like had died like 2 days before on the canyon, like the helicopter went out of control.
What a telly.
I know, but like I'm not on the Grand Canyon. I'm in Dublin. I'm sure it'd be fine.
It's like, you know, when people go to New York, me and David always talk about this, they go to New York and they do the helicopter ride over whatever.
Mm.
Why? We were just after coming on a plane. I want to be on the ground.
I know, I see. Like see the city. See Manhattan.
No.
Anyway, so there's a no from you and yes from me and we want to hear from you. So if you've any thoughts on this, please get in touch with us at unveiled@gonoutnow.com.
I do feel like sitting with the driver would be a lot more fun on an air. Because you know when you're getting texts, you're like, oh, I'm sitting with the driver.
Yeah.
We're
always
like, who's sitting with the driver?
I love sitting with the driver. I always love taking control of the radio.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mr. May I use, or sometimes it can be a she, can I use your radio? And they're like, go on then. I'm like, what are we listening to, guys? I love putting my Bluetooth to it and have the whole systems go.
So get in touch with us and let us know if you would be up for an air taxi. You can message us on our Unveiled Instagram, which is Unveiled Pod, or you can email us at unveiled@goloudnow.com and let us know if there's any other experts that we should have on as well. We're always open to suggestions. Speaking of travel, actually, oh my God, this woman the other day tagged off her Leap card in front of me, right?
Mm.
Her balance was €50. I was like, that is a different tax bracket.
What?
And it also said so much to me that I was like, you really trust yourself that you're not going to lose that Leap card. Like, I can guarantee for sure I lose a Leap card every... My longest is about 2 months.
Yeah.
It was so bad that I kept taking... I'd lose mine, I'd take David's, I'd lose his. And for his birthday, as part of his present, I got him a Leap card and I like etched not NASA's Leap card into it so I wouldn't steal it.
Did you not top it up by €50 for him?
Put 20 on it, you know.
Not good
We're
for you.
Saving.
But come here, about the Leap card thing, I'm obviously a new public transport goer, but like surely it's like when you lose a card, like you can cancel it now?
Or, I don't know.
Oh yeah. But yeah, you're dead right, €50 a lot.
What a big baller.
No, but I'm just thinking, like, would but that would probably go pretty fast, would it? Like,
yeah,
depending.
I could just never commit to putting €50 on the Leap cards. No way.
So something else that stopped me in my tracks this week, along with many other things. Did you see the US have brought in the first ever over-the-counter birth control pill without a prescription? So you can just go up to, it's like getting ibuprofen or paracetamol. Like the way you'd go up and get that, you can get your contraceptive pill.
Like, that seems mad to me. Like, I wonder, are they giving advice with that over the counter, or is it just like, here you go? Do you know?
It's funny that you say that, because one of my biggest issues around the contraceptive pill, although like it has benefits and there's some scaremongering things, it's the lack of like information, advice and data given to the person when they're going on birth control. Like they're not told about the side effects. You know, they're not told about like, you know, the potential weight gain, or like, you know, people can suffer from really bad migraines. I know my sister, like even her mood, I remember my mood, I turned into like a complete different person. Mm. I was like emotional, I felt depressed. It was like, it just wasn't.
Yeah, I was the same. When I went on it, I felt like the only way I could describe it would be like I couldn't cope with anything. Just like everything was too much. Like your emotions are just, you're enraged. I don't know, I was like enraged all the time.
Yeah, that's like a lot of people say one of the reasons that they came off it was because they didn't feel like themselves, like they didn't feel like the real them while they're on it. Now, I know in Ireland it's free contraception anyway, which is really, really good, and available to women, girls, trans, non-binary people aged from 17 to 31, and also who need like, you know, emergency contraception. But although I had to get the morning after pill there about a month or two ago, and like the way they bring it into the room, and they like obviously they have to ask all these questions to make sure from like a health perspective that you don't have any underlying heart condition or something that you could be allergic to. But it actually is so daunting sitting in the room asking those questions. So I wonder, it probably would be the same, because obviously that is now over the counter, the morning after pill.
Yeah, you would hope that they're given that same level of service rather than it just being a Panadol.
Yeah,
you know?
Just like, here you go.
Because like, even though I know it's, the numbers aren't crazy high, but like the risk of blood clotting and everything, like if somebody didn't know that and they might be susceptible to blood clots, like,
yeah,
that's potentially so harmful.
It's funny that you say that, because my whole thing when I came off the pill, and it would have been about nearly 10 years ago now, my sister only recently, it was the fear of this, you know, blood clots and like cancer risk and like, you know, all these scaremongering things. And I remember listening to a podcast with Dr. Hazel Wallace, and she got on another GP from the NHS in the UK, and she was just like, it's all well and good, you know, there is certain pills that will have a higher risk of blood clotting, but it's like the information that's not given to you there and then about this.
Yeah.
But she did say, right, every 2 in 10,000 normal women walking around could get a blood clot. If you're on a contraceptive pill, it's 5 to 7 people out of 10,000.
Yeah.
Like that's not a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously it goes up, you know, a little bit more when you're on the pill, but it's not a huge lot. So I think there is like a scaremongering element there with the whole blood clots. And I know, I suppose you just hear about the bad stories, like even about that, you know, I used to be terrified. The toxic shock thing.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that, and then we're all like, have the shits up us kind of thing.
Do you know what it is for me, right? And I'm stating the complete obvious here, but it's a complete case by case personal thing.
Yeah, it is.
Thing, right? For me, I really didn't like the way the pill made me feel.
Yeah.
Like mentally.
Yeah.
You know, like my hormones, like I was unhappy like every day. You know what I mean? Like, and then after a while I was just like, why am I doing this to my body? Like, this is ridiculous, you know?
And tell me this, how long were you on the pill, and did you try different pills?
Yeah.
You did.
So I was like on and off the pill, I would say probably 7 years. So I would do different, I went on Ovranet.
Yeah, that's the baseline one that you generally just get, or Microlite. Yeah.
I was on Microlite.
Yeah, they're like
kind of Yaz.
Yeah, yeah. I think Yaz is a different one. I don't think that's the baseline one.
There's one that was nicknamed the mini pill, right?
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
that was the last one I was on before I abandoned.
So you tried a few?
Yeah, I tried a few. Now I would stick them out, because I know like they'd be like, okay, the first couple of months, you know, you need to settle it into your hormones and blah blah blah.
Did they give you that, and they sat you down and told you all of this?
Yeah, I was lucky, I always had a good GP.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
Yeah.
But like, I'm ruthless. If I don't have a good GP, I'm like, fuck you, I'm leaving.
Oh,
like
really?
I wouldn't waste my time.
I feel like leaving your GP is like going to get your like confirmation cert to get married from like your local church. Like, I tried to change my GP, I think it was only recently, because I just wasn't making it up to Tala.
Yeah.
And they were like, it's not that easy. Another GPs won't see you.
Oh, yeah. No, I would change GP within the practice.
Okay.
So, yeah, apparently it's like a major ordeal.
Oh, it's a huge ordeal. It's like getting a visa.
Yeah.
It's mental.
Yeah. What the fuck do you want me to do?
I know. It's like you need to be in the catchment area, which kind of makes sense.
You're like, here,
but you're
I'm
like,
sick.
Yeah, like, help me.
like seen.
I remember like, it was actually just after I got engaged. Remember I just wasn't getting rid of that cough and I ended up having bronchitis.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, I went up to the VHI, which I didn't have a great experience anyway, but you know what? They were all overworked and I felt sorry for them. But I was like, I'm only coming up to you because the lack of services in my GP and I can't see anyone else.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, we're going on to the GPs. But you did have a good GP experience.
So I did. And like, we spoke about it and like, I kind of had came back, I think, and I was like, look, this pill's not working for me. Like, I'm feeling XYZ. So we did try different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like saying to her that I was like, I just feel like I'm so irritated. Like, my hormone levels just feel so off.
Yeah.
Just by my mood and blah, blah, blah. So I then ended up going on the mini pill, I think is what it was called, which was progesterone only. So you don't take a break from that.
Okay.
And apparently,
me
with no qualifications, it's the estrogen in the pill that can send you a bit woo-woo sometimes.
Okay.
It can heighten your emotions and things like that. So because I was so sensitive to that, that's why I went on the progesterone only one. And out of all of them, that worked for me the best. But then I just got to a stage where I just didn't like the idea of like a hormone,
I know,
genetically being messed with.
Yeah, that was one of my things.
Yeah, and I just was like, I don't want to be on anything like that, actually.
And you, just when you were saying you didn't have to take a break, do you know that was just like an Irish thing? Or like it was something got to do with the Catholic Church that they made you take a 7-day break?
What?
That you don't have to take a break, you can just keep going. Yeah, I found that out like 2 years ago. It was like they say to take a break, but you don't actually have to. It was something got to do with the...
With God.
Yeah, so yeah, it was like... So I'm going to read you out this, which will show you that I'm not spoofing here.
Mm-hmm.
So the week-long pill-free break after 21 days taking it was supposedly thought up by a gynecologist, John Rock, because he hoped that the Pope would approve the pill and make it more acceptable for Catholics to use.
Wow.
I know.
That's bananas.
Isn't it bananas? Us Irish girls, we all never knew that.
No.
Like, and it's, I suppose it just goes back to, in my opinion, the lack of information and advice and access that we have sometimes around these things. But, and also, you'll laugh at this because I just think this is gas. In the early days of contraceptive use in Ireland, some doctors would advise women to use the Angelus as a reminder to take their pill every day. You know, like the Angelus, ding, ding.
I mean, it is giving alarm clock, isn't it?
It is. And you know what as well, what always like drawn my head in about the pill? And although I did, I think I was end up being okay. I think I went on Jasmine and I was fine, all right. It was the whole admin around it.
Yeah.
Like remembering to get it. And at the, in our day, I won't say that again. God. But when I went on the pill initially, when I was like, whatever, 16 or 17, it was the whole idea of like getting your prescription and booking in with the doctor. And in around that time, it wasn't free. Like, I don't think I remember it not being free. I could be wrong.
The absolute ordeal if you didn't realise that you ran out of one and then you'd have to try and do fucking negotiation talks with a pharmacist to get you an emergency one. Like, will you go away and just give it to me?
Like, I'm obviously okay now, but when I was 16 and 17, me remembering my pill, I wish I had known the Angelus thing that might have helped because I was in like an all-girls like Catholic nun school.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was more like the admin around it. But yeah, I feel like we're just a slave to our hormones, aren't we?
Niamh, 8 days a week, all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Yes. This is why this week I feel like I'm a survival, not thrival. Thrival's not a word, but it doesn't matter.
Sorry, Ness. I definitely was paying for it because contraception only became free in 2022. See, I wouldn't know that because I haven't been on the pill in years, but that's madness. Do you think that like... Oh, anyway, but
I'm glad to hear that it is.
No, of course, but it should have been so much more sooner.
Yeah, but Ireland's just so archaic and
I know.
Like that. And like,
I know.
I feel like it's still like there's so many things that are tangled in from the church and everything.
Oh, 100%. Like, well, just that information there is just wild. You don't need to be taking a 7-day break. Also, like on the pill, on the aura pill and things like that, like I do want to kind of like put emphasis, like the whole scaremongering thing around it. Like, I definitely think you shouldn't be scared by it. Like, there's obviously other options because, you know, like I remember my poor sister, like I think I've spoken about this before. She just wasn't right on any sort of pill that she was trying. And then she was going to get the copper coil, but now she's going on the Kyalinicol and it's meant to be like better for hormones. But one of the things she said to me, because she's quite like, she's young and she's like a sponge when it comes to like information, so she's taking it all in and she'd rather look at the negative than the positive of things. And one of the things that she was just like, oh, there's just like so many signs of like the risk of breast cancer and, you know, cervical cancer. And when I was like looking up stuff for her, I was saying to her that drinking alcohol and being overweight, you're at a higher risk from getting, you know, any sort of cancer, not down to the pill. So I definitely think if anyone's listening, in terms of like, obviously they say that there's like a higher risk of like, you know, precancerous cells when you're on the pill, like definitely just look into more information and book in with like, you know, a hormone health coach, or go book appointment with the Well Woman Clinic and make sure you're getting your regular smears. Because like,
that should be, I feel like, taught in secondary schools, shouldn't it?
Come here.
Like, it's so mad.
That and how to read a pay slip and how to pay tax.
Oh, and what, like, talk to me about a mortgage, please, rather than Pythagoras' theorem. I know. But like, as well, I don't even know if this is true or not, but remember, like, people would be like, oh yeah, I'm going to come off the pill because it'll like take X amount of time for your hormones to regulate, and I want to try for a baby in Y amount of time. Like, I'm like, is that, I don't even know if that's true or not.
So when I was listening to the podcast here, when Dr. Fran said it's different for every person. Yeah. Someone can get pregnant straight away. They said the only one that can take a little bit longer is the contraception injection. Supposedly that's the only one that can take a little bit longer, but generally others is like 2 to 3 months, but the actual injection can be up to 12 months just for some people. Like, not everyone, but that seems to be the one that is that little bit longer for you to feel fertile, but that's a very rare case as well. Like, the scaremongering can be huge around these things, but the pill also has been quite helpful for some people, like people with polycystic ovaries.
Yeah. Like, really painful periods.
Really painful periods. Like, there is benefits to it, but I just think it's the lack of advice and the lack of information. And even, like, I remember listening to that podcast, and the woman, Dr. Fran, was like, it's hard. Like, we only have a 10 to 15 minute window in the GP because it's just the way it works, and it's very hard to get all the information to someone, and it's probably just the lack of information that's out there. And it's such a shame that information just isn't easy for us to access because of
but I think that's why it's so important. Like, and I'll always like try and like lead my life by this. It's just like, everyone's case is different, so like, get as much as you can out of, if you're going to be doing something, like, get as much as you can out of somebody.
Yeah.
Not in life.
Yeah.
Lead them dry, bitches. No, but I mean, like, just because something happened to your friend, it might affect you in a different capacity, like, from a medical perspective.
1000%.
I did see kind of like the lol side. I know we saw this influencer, I can't remember her name, she's some comedian, but she was like, I can't wait to come off the pill and meet the real me. So funny. And like, people in the audience, I think, were saying that like, they were with people for like years, and then they came off the pill and were like, what the fuck, and like broke up with the guy.
But I can kind of see, well, just from my experience and even my sister, it's actually kind of funny, because when she came off her pill and she's gone on whatever coil it is, she's like actually with a new person now. She isn't with her boyfriend that she was with for years. Might give you like a clear perspective on things, because if you think about it, is a hormone going into your body, like, your moods are up and down,
like beer goggles, you're like, oh, in the cold light of day, you're like, no.
I know it's so funny. We have some listener questions as always, and I find this one actually quite interesting because I'd love your perspective, and then I obviously have my perspective on it. Girls, I'm in my job 2 years now and I have an annual review coming up. I want to ask for a raise, and I think I've really improved over the year, and I know they would find it hard to replace me. My friends have told me to ask for 10k. Is this a crazy amount? I've never asked for a raise before and I'm afraid I'll wimp out. Any advice?
I really think in these scenarios you need to back yourself, okay? Because nobody's going to pitch for you or bat for you other than you, you know? And sometimes people will be like, you know what, you deserve a raise, but very rarely.
Yeah.
And I think if she, how long has she been in her job? Did she say 2 years? Yeah, have an annual review. If that was me, I would go back and show your values to be like, since I've joined here, I've brought in X, I've done Y,
yeah,
X, definitely. Y, Z. So you're giving them reasons to show your value, you know? And I think one bit of advice I kind of try to give myself is like, get comfortable with the awkwardness in a way.
Yeah.
So like, get comfortable with like, the silence of it, you know, if you put your case out there.
Yeah, it's like they say that you will grow more in like the uncomfortable stage.
Yeah, I think women a lot of the time feel they're not worthy. It's like men apply for a job when they meet only 60% of the qualifications, but women apply only if they meet 100% of them. And it's so true.
It is so true. Like even for me, I'm kind of in a different arena altogether.
Yeah, how does that work?
Because I'm like self-employed and I kind of have to pitch myself, or my agency will pitch me, and if I like suit the brand or whatever, and if I want to work with the brand, like obviously a huge thing for me is like I always like to be transparent, and I won't work with like a random company that like doesn't fit I suppose the Niamh Cullen world or whatever. But like I really feel for her when she's like, I'm afraid I will wimp out.
Yeah.
Because like literally last week I had said, I don't think I'm good enough for that job. I won't do it. And my agency were like, are you mad?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I just don't think. And they're like, but why?
Yeah.
And it's just funny how you can get in your head and that negative self-talk, that imposter syndrome. Yeah. And it just clicks in. It's like that person on your shoulder is like, yeah, you're not good enough. Fuck it. Like, you're not to do it. And it's terrible.
Totally. Well, I always feel like this person now who wrote in, they're already living their worst case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. So they're already going without the raise. They've already wimped out essentially. So you've everything to gain and nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And I feel if you go to your management and you've put a case together and it shows you're ambitious, it shows you take yourself serious. And like, you know, because some people will walk over you in the workplace if you don't champion yourself. So I think it's the most empowering thing you can do for yourself to like value yourself.
Yeah,
do you know?
Completely. Like if they say no, all you can do is go in probably with a negotiation and be like, okay, well, why are you saying no? And just, I suppose, just having yourself really well prepped for some answers or some...
Like it's happened to me before where I've asked for whatever and sometimes I've got it and then sometimes I haven't, and the reason could be super valid. Like we're literally, we don't have budget at the moment. But it's like the climate or things like that, and you're like, okay, look, that's fair enough, I understand that, you know. But if it's just a no for no reason, I would maybe ask them to give a little bit more context as to why it's a no, and if it's a no now, then when can I work towards, do you know? So I would always try and keep it as a, okay, right, well, so when can we have a catch up about this in 3 months if I deliver on X, do you know?
Yeah, God, Ness, that's really good advice. So best to look in your interview and 100% go for it.
Back
reach
yourself,
for the stars.
Girl.
100%.
Okay. Hi, NNN.
Oh, love that.
Changing the
NNN
podcast name. I've been in a long distance relationship for the last 2 years, just different counties now, not anything mad, and we've always made it work. I've gotten a job offer to move abroad for 9 months and it's an opportunity I would love to take. Problem is my boyfriend won't be able to get a visa to the States, so he can't come with me. I'm really conflicted. I'd obviously miss him, but we are already doing long distance, so maybe we could make it work. What do you think?
Does long distance work is the first thing that I want to ask, and ask you, because this is one of the things that, you know, is a thing for her, you know, will it work?
Sorry, I need to ask you.
I want to ask you, do you think long distance works?
I think it can. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like for me and David have spoken about it. We've never had to do it. Like, thankfully. I mean, if you love somebody enough, yeah, you can make it work, but it's very hard, you know?
It is. I feel like as well... It's probably harder to do as you get older and you kind of like want to settle down and start your life up. Well, yeah, like if I'm thinking, like I did long distance when I was younger twice. They both moved to Australia. I was like, great.
And you stayed in relationship.
Yeah, but then we broke up eventually. Naturally we did. But because you're young and you're kind of like, kind of a little bit independent and have your friends and you have college and you have school and you have like all these things going on. Where as you get older, you're like, okay, you know, people tend to start, like, it's just like society, like we tend to start settling down.
Yeah.
And it's just that little piece and parcel of like whether you can make it work. And I do find it's a little bit more difficult as you get older, because obviously you do want to settle in. Do you want to, you know, buy a house, or do you want to move in together?
Trust is a big thing in long distance to make it work. And I feel a lot of the time, the younger the relationship, potentially not always, but there can be that level of immaturity there. And with that, then there could be a lack of trust.
Yeah, trust is huge in every relationship, friendship and, you know, lovers. But yeah, I just feel like it's kind of like a maturity thing if they have like good communication and they do in the long term want to make it work. Like,
but I do think with this girl here, they're used to not living in each other's pockets.
Yeah, that's true.
So I do feel like there's a good foundation there for them both to have their level of independence.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, her answer is made up because she said she'd love to take it. So for me, I'm like, if you feel that way, you have to take it, because if you stay, you'll resent them.
Oh, of course.
You know, which isn't going to be good either way.
And like, opportunities like this don't like come around often. So it's like, and put yourself first, and you know, if it's meant to be, it will be. But I suppose if you have a good plan in place, and look, take that opportunity, you know, I'm sure he would take it as well if he could,
play
you know.
Long game as well. If this is your person, think of how you're setting up your future for your relationship. It'd be like the best thing you could do, because you probably get a better job, you know, if you have that international experience.
Yeah,
you're gonna then be able to negotiate more when you come back and everything. I definitely think it's only a decision she can make, but if she's already saying I would love to take it, I feel
you have
she'll have to scratch the itch, because otherwise she'll want it. That bubble of resentment could come there, and that's not ever good for a relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Could good communication. At this stage, no.
If Jamie had to relocate for 9 months.
Well, I'd go with him, or I'd figure something out.
What? I couldn't.
I don't know if I could be arsed.
You're engaged.
I know, but like, I'd obviously go with them then.
That's so funny. I thought you were going to be like, I don't know if I could be apart. I don't know if I could be apart.
I just don't know whether, like, obviously, come on, I'd probably go with them, or if that opportunity.
You can't go with them.
I can't go with them.
No.
Oh, I can't get visa. Sorry.
You can't go with them. You need to accept it.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'd obviously try and make it work, but I'm stressed of that.
CBA.
I know. I'm engaged. I can't think that way about my husband. Till death do us part and whatnot. But no, just because I've done long distance before, and I have friends who've done it, like, I don't want to put this negative twist on this, because I feel like everything be positive. But like, the communication thing with the time difference, it's all a bit like, but if you're committed to the cause, which, you know what, in the same breath, I'm like,
which you clearly aren't.
Which I'm clearly not, but now I'm changing my tone a bit. Yeah. I probably would be. And look, if it's meant to be, it will be. Good communication, good trust, good plan in place of what the long game is, what the future, what you hope it may look like. And honey, take this opportunity and go for it, because the world's your oyster. Live, laugh, love, bye.
Live, laugh, love, lips it, goodbye.
Lips it, goodbye.
Our patron saint of fitness. Rob lips it.
Shout out Rob for listening. And that brings us to the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed that interesting chat. And obviously, as always, if you have any questions, please do send them in at unveiled@goloudnow.com. We really appreciate the listen. So thanks for listening. And Unveiled is brought to you by Go Loud. There's a new episode out each Monday, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
This is Unveiled with Niamh Cullen and Nessa Morrissey, a Go Loud original podcast. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.